you know what's weird is, like, as a band, I think this is just a personality trait of mine, but, like, especially as a band, we've just, like, alienated groups of people, like, one by one. I just don't even know why we do it, but it's just, like, feels... I think maybe it's, like, a weird way of making us, like, always feel like we're, like, outsiders, and it just feels quite good to be that, and also, like, just... if it is a bit, we just never really want to be comfortable as a band, I think. So we like, when we started, we were like a hardcore band. And then we got a record deal, and then we did like a kind of a Britpop record or whatever the first album is. Then we did like a weird like ska-infused whatever. And then we did the third album was really pop. Along the way, we just alienated like a group of people. And so the idea that there's anyone now that still is like, you know, the idea that we can sell out King Tut's after like, you know, I mean, really 10 years of the original lineup, it's just quite insane. And you do have, it's the same people, and there's a lot of young kids that have just sort of heard about it somehow, I don't know. I don't even know how. We haven't done any press. It's just like, I don't really know how we managed to pull it off, but it's felt really good.
Well, you pulled it off, haven't you? What have you been listening to and writing to while writing this record? Because you mentioned there, you did this kind of Britpop-y thing early on. I first came aware of you, I think it's 2005 when your first appearance on Jules Holland, week in or week out, talk.
Yeah, maybe 2004 actually that was. Yeah, because that, do you know what we did? We went from nothing, like we toured a lot, but we'd never had any kind of success of any kind. And then we went straight on Jules Holland with Morrissey, and like, he was like 5 foot away from me.
He's one of your idols, isn't he?
Like, I absolutely love him. Absolutely love him. And then Junior Mervyn, who's like one of my other idols, like a reggae guy, he's absolutely brilliant, on Jules Holland. And then that evening, we went off to tour with Morrissey, and we played that night with Morrissey and the New York Dolls in Manchester. And then we did a few, it was just like, that was like, that was such a weird day in my life. That was the moment where I was just like, what is happening? What is this band? Like, it just took us completely by surprise. And we've never ever had any like, I think that the reason we like to kind of, why we're quite loose with what the band is and why we didn't do it for 10 years and stuff is because we never really expected or wanted any kind of success anyway. So when it came, we were just a bit like, this is silly, and just kind of enjoyed it for what it was. But I mean, we've all got our own jobs and our own lives and stuff now. So it's like, this is just, I mean, not only is it like a metaphorical holiday for the band, but actually like two of the lads are taking it as their paid holiday, like their annual leave. So it's their actual holiday, but, and it has really felt like that. It's been really fun. I'm a bit sad because it's near the end now, but we've got 5 gigs left.
It's not the end though, because you're going to Japan soon, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to Japan on the 11th, and I'm staying an extra week. And I've booked tickets to the Studio Ghibli Museum, and we're going to go and see loads of J-pop artists and stuff, and like do all, maybe go to Disneyland and stuff like that. It'd be really good.
You played me some J-pop before we started the interview, but what's been actually influencing this last record that you've written? Because I mentioned there's a Britpop, the sort of mod thing as well, you know. You had a lot of modern old skinhead, scarheads coming, loving your music.
We still do, and I really like that culture, and I love 60s ska and stuff like that. But we listen to a lot of like American punk bands, pop punk bands and stuff like that. Yeah, I think it comes across much more in this one than it did before. I don't really know why that is, but it's like, Do you know why it is? Because there's a lot of really good like emo and pop punk bands coming out now. There's a lot of new ones that we really like. So we've just been listening to a lot of that, I think. And when we set out to do the first record, to do this more recent record, we were like, well, let's make it sound a bit more like the first record. And we sort of started trying to do that, and it just felt a bit like it was stuck in kind of 2004 anyway. So we're like, oh, do you know what? It doesn't really matter. We're not like accountable to anyone. It doesn't matter if it's rubbish. Let's just do what we want to do. And so we made like a pop punk record somehow.
You can definitely hear it though. You definitely hear it. I like it that you've been honest about that as well, because it'd be quite easy for yourselves to stick and say, oh, we're making this sort of mod record. Mm. But you haven't, you're open in there saying, no, we listen to a lot of pop punk stuff from America, yeah. and that's what influenced us, and that's what's come across on the record. I think that's quite refreshing to you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the music that we've always really loved, I think. And I like, it's weird with the mod thing. It's almost like we were a band, and then, do you know what, this is the funny story. It's not even a funny story, but it's just... it's just an odd situation that arose, is that we were offered the front cover of The Enemy on the like Heroes issue or whatever. So it was like, you get to interview your hero. So we were going to interview Morrissey for it. And I was really excited. I love Morrissey. I had all these questions prepared. And in the last minute, the magazine were like, I know actually Franz Ferdinand are going to do Morrissey. You've got Paul Weller. And I was like, all right, well, I want to be on the front cover of The Enemy. So I'll do it, and I like, you know, I like the jam, and I love Style Council and stuff. But actually, by doing that interview with The Enemy, then it sort of got us this this fan base that we weren't necessarily right for. And I think we sort of tried to please them a little bit with the second record, and tried to make something that's a bit more like a bit, you know, a bit more ska and like mod and whatever. But really, I definitely like all that stuff, but I don't necessarily know that much about it, really. Okay. But like, it's weird as well, because we've played with a few bands like this, but there's a market there for that's really healthy if you're like a sort of British mod band, and there's loads of them around there, and they all kind of sound the same, and I don't, none of them are very interesting to me, and it's not music that I like at all, and I don't want to, I mean, for the sake of having a sort of fan base there for you, I'd much rather just make something weird and like, you know, tenth of the amount of people like it, but it's what we wanted to do, and when we go out and play live, we're like really excited to do it. I think, in fact, part of this, I mean, the main sort of drive for this record is to just like not compromise at all and just do something that's like we think's really good.
So tell me about why you decided to come back with Nordic Breeze. I know you've been very busy writing for other people and been doing very well at that as well. Why did you feel like you had to come back? Was it to put right a few wrongs or a second chance, reborn? What kind of thing was it for you, Preston?
I just missed the lads, and I didn't. We're like really busy. I'm like an absolute workaholic, and they are as well. And so I phoned up Charlie, who's our original drummer, who actually kicked out in 2004, and it was a bit awkward. and then I just called him up and said, oh, you know, let's not bear a grudge. Why don't we? Like we should meet up and have dinner or whatever, and then by the end of the conversation, we decided to do another tour and another record. So it was just like it's just like a friendship thing. That's like the sole reason that we're together now. It's just to spend time together.
Just going out with your mates and playing some music, have some beers.
Yeah, exactly. Just being able to like if I can hold my friends hostage in a van for 30 days, then I'm gonna.
Like I mentioned there, your songwriting has been incredible. You know, you co-wrote Heart Skip to Beat, Volume Murs. The question is, do you think that if the Ordinary Boys had released Heart Skip to Beat, do you think it'd have had that longevity and success as Ollie's had with Hit?
No, I mean, also, I can't really sing very well. So, and Ollie really can. And I can't, like, if you heard the demo version of that, it just is, it's got none of the spark of the final one. And then one of the reasons why I'm successful as a songwriter is because my voice is like, I have to really try really hard to make anything sound good. So people get the demo and then they think, well, I can make this sound really good. So I think, I don't think any of the songs that I've written as a writer would have any chance as Ordinary War songs. And I think some of the stuff on this new album, if it, you know, melodically and stuff is as strong as some of that stuff that I've written anyway. So it's just a completely different thing, I think.
I was going to ask you, I know Boys Will Be Boys has been, like, it's an anthem for the Ordinary Boys. Do you think if Ollie Murs had released that, it'd have been bigger?
Yeah, probably, yeah, yeah. I wonder. Maybe the lyrics are a bit weird. It's quite a dark song, actually, Boys Will Be Boys. Lyrically, it's like... It's funny, those sort of songs, because the hook and the initial kind of sentiment from the title and stuff is, like, suggests a certain, you sort of suggest what the song's about, but really it's not like about that at all. It's like almost about the opposite. It's kind of like, I guess the sentiment of the song is like, oh, because boys have a bad reputation as being uncaring and unthoughtful and like laddish, then you, as a boy, you sort of